appointment at the house today, just before 10. So we are going to just get started with the introductory prayers, beginning with the outer mandala offering, and then we will do the prayer of refuge in bodhicitta. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas High, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Nirata Yami. Shodanja Yajanam La Yanju Badu Dani Yasuji Nagi Chinye Jibesanam Yajala Benchi Zanye Dubaju. Yadan do ye jo nam la yan ju ba du da ni ja su ji da ge che ne je be so na ni ro la ben che zon ye ju ba shu yadan do ye jo nam la yan ju ba du da ni ya su ji. Nagi chenye ji be so nam ji ro la men je zon ye ru ba ju. So today, once again, we're blessed to have Rinpoche explain Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. So we will begin on stanza 106 for those who are following along in English. And I just want to say, I've been really recently thinking about how grateful we all should be for Rinpoche giving us teachings for so, so long. And I want to thank the founders of our center, Barbara, Sue, Marianne, and Doug, who really worked so hard to make sure we had a little apartment on Main Street where we could offer teachings. It was like 96 or 7. And then out of nowhere, Rinpoche asked to retire at our center. And in 1998, this all started. And I just am so grateful for Rinpoche and so grateful for all of the people in Lapsang Senten who made that happen because we would not be here if that had not. So here we are learning what Rinpoche said is what Ganden Ser and Drepung study, and they go memorize it in retreats to understand this text. And here we are doing what Drepung Ser and Ganden do to understand this information. So thank you, Rinpoche. Yeah.
Tā mēle dā tōwa shirā kāli kāpure, inā tāna ngātō mēle dā tōna yōres. Yō tā mēle dā tōla, tāne tāna ngātō mēle dā tōna yōres. Jawa shimā tsirā mōpule, mēle dā tōbi chēto, tsūrī sōngā, jāndō tāng lēlē sōngā kēchibures.
So to achieve a human basis is so very difficult. At this moment, we have this. We have a human basis with leisure and opportunity. If we wish to have this type of basis again in our future lives, it's necessary to create the causes and conditions for their arisal. So it is said that if we engage in ethical behavior and go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, we will in future lives, in many future lives, be able to achieve this basis again. Okay, so we'll stop there. Now, Rinpoche gave commentary throughout, so let me begin. Karma comes about, stanza 106. Karma comes about through ignorance. When ignorance is banished, karma also. To think like this betrays most certainly the uninformed. The sunlight of right understanding clears away the darkness of confusion. The wise have realized emptiness and are thus set free. So through understanding the nature of reality, one will stop the grasping at true establishment, which then creates the afflictions that create the karma, that creates the cyclic existence. So the sunlight of right understanding clears away the darkness of confusion, the darkness of ignorance. Going back to Rinpoche's 12 links of dependent origination teaching we were just listening to, when you look at the outer rim of the 12 links, you see a man who's blind. And that symbolizes ignorance, benighted ignorance. And that ignorance is caused by the grasping at true establishment. So the wise have realized emptiness, and thus they are set free. So once you get rid of the link of ignorance, all of the other links within the 12 links begin to disintegrate. The compositional factors and name and form and so forth begin to disintegrate because that which causes it is cleared away. The confusion is cleared away. So the wise have realized emptiness and are thus set free. If things you say did not exist in ultimate reality, conventionally too, they would be like a childless woman's son. But this is not the case, you say, and claim phenomena do, by nature, do exist. To those who suffer from an eye disease, black lines appear, though they have no arising. So now you should debate and prove them false, and then refute the ones who suffer from the ills of ignorance. As when you dream or see a city in the clouds, a mirage of a pool, an optical illusion, or an image in a glass, the things you see are unproduced, all without existence. But how do you perceive them? It should not be possible. So it's saying here that even though we are ascertaining things to have true establishment, it's just their concealed truth. It's their conventional truth that we're perceiving and then grasping at it as truly established. Here it's positing that conventional truth is also not truly established, but that does not make that conventional truth not existent. Not truly established and not non-existent can abide within the same object and must abide in the same object in order for you to understand its true nature. It's two sides of a coin. It's conventional truth is what we perceive, but the inside of what we perceive and the true existence that we perceive is wrong. The object is there, but the nature that we perceive about that object is not correct. So the emptiness of that object is the correct understanding. The lack of true establishment of that object is the true understanding, and you arrive at its existence simultaneously. Though ultimately things are unproduced, this does not mean that like a barren woman's child, they are not seen or found within this world. Your argument is therefore inconclusive. So it's saying that obviously we're perceiving all of these things to have existence and to abide. This table is here. This book is here. But the way that they abide here, we are misunderstanding. So it's saying that the way we think they abide is like a child of a barren woman. It doesn't exist. The true establishment of an object does not exist, but it does exist conventionally. So it doesn't ultimately exist conventionally, but it exists conventionally. Our teacher for this reason has proclaimed that from the outset, all phenomena are peace and are unproduced, transcending by their nature every pain. And so we say that true production, it's in itself, a barren woman's child is never born. And this is true both ultimately and according to the world. And likewise, by their nature, all phenomena in common truth and ultimately are indeed unborn. So ultimately, things are not ultimately existent, and conventionally, things are not ultimately existent. Our teacher for this reason has proclaimed that from the outset, all phenomena are peace and unproduced, transcending their nature, every pain. And so we see that true production there never has been. Though pots and such like have no ultimate existence, they certainly exist according to their general consensus, and likewise the conclusion does not follow. And phenomena are like a barren woman's child. And therefore, since phenomena are not produced uncaused, nor are the handiwork of God, do not arise from self, from other, nor from both these things, they do indeed emerge dependently. And so things are produced dependently. The theories just mentioned cannot be believed. The argument that all arises in dependence cuts in pieces all mistaken views. So the idea that things can arise from self, from other, from a collection of both, or some sort of both, or from a cause, or they're not caused at all, is disintegrated when you apply the argument of dependent origination to the basis of designation. Such notions come when true existence is ascribed to things which we have just disproved by our analysis. These theories cannot now occur, as fire cannot arise where there's no fuel. Rinpoche's dog is deciding to give the teaching now, Suma. They are inseparable at this point. Common folk are fettered by their thoughts without such concepts. Yogis are set free. The very halting of discursiveness is fruit of true analysis, the wise have said. So here the halting of discursiveness is the halting of the benighted ignorance. And that is what happens through analysis, the wise have said. So if we analyze the nature of things, we will get rid of the ignorance that grasps at them as being truly established. The arguments contained within our treatise were not contrived through love of disputation. They set forth suchness only for the sake of freedom. They are not to be blamed if while expounding emptiness, they show the falseness of discordant doctrines. So the only point of the debates and the only point of negating false views is to arrive at liberation, is to get rid of our afflictions. So it's not done out of attachment or out of some sort of pride. It's done to get rid of that which binds us to cyclic existence and free us. Attachments to one's own belief, aversion for another's, all is thought. Once clinging and aversion are dispelled through reason and analysis, we will be swiftly freed. So having a wrong idea or someone else having a wrong idea, it's all just thoughts. And once those thoughts are corrected, then they move in the right way. So we shouldn't get so overwhelmed and concerned by it says attachments to one's own belief, aversion for others' view, all this is thought. Once you clinging and aversion are dispelled through reason analysis, we will swiftly be set free. So any of these partisan views or anything that we have all disintegrate once there's truth, because truth is truth. There's no second truth or maybe another truth. Truth is truth. Perceiving that all faults and all afflictions flow from the idea of the transitory composite and viewing that its focus is the very self, this self is what the yogi will disprove. The yogi disproves the idea of I and mine. My hand, this is I. This hand is me. This body is Jeff. I am Jeff. All of this is dispelled. The view of the transitory collection is the view of I and mine. And once that dispelled, the yogi, it says, is set free. That's the self the yogi disproves, because it says through reason and analysis, we will swiftly be free. So we'll end there. Questions and answer. I just want to say thank you so much to Rinpoche. And please, I really encourage everyone, go back to all the teachings from 2000, 2005, 6. Go back to the teachings in the late 90s. There's a 12 link of dependent origination that Roy Lee translated. Look up Shanghai Lee, who's Rinpoche's second translator, Topke Sering, then Roy Lee. Shanghai Roy Lee. Go on the internet and look him up and see what Shanghai Roy Lee has blossomed into. I think you'll find he's teaching at University of Wisconsin, Harvard, and in Israel. So he's one of the great scholars now because of Rinpoche's kindness. So please go back and look at all of those teachings. We were listening to the Lojong teachings, and they're incredible, and they're precise, and they use a commentary, and it's just really wonderful. So please go look at all the teachings Rinpoche gave on the internet, if you haven't already, and go way back. And you'll see, Rinpoche first came, he wasn't used to teaching Westerners as much. A lot of Geshe's come, and they don't really have like the rhythm of the easier teaching. And you'll see that he's teaching like he's in Drepung, teaching to Geshe's. So please go back and look at those. Not to say that all the teachings aren't beautiful. I just say that it's a different style of teaching that you can appreciate if you look at some of the earlier ones. Question? No question. Okay. So we'll end there with the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. All of the stuff. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular, for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness, all-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso may stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khenpsur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Thank you, everyone, for attending.